Welcome to the Business Life of Husband and Wife podcast.
A show based on real experiences in business and life.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 114 today. These are our former premium content episodes. They are short form and they are just topics that I like to cover or Robin like to cover that don't need a ton of explanation and they're mostly opinion based. That being said, we do have four formats of our show. One, we have our couples episodes where we get the ins and outs and we get the all the bouts, kind of figure out what they do differently, what we can do and what we can learn from one another. Second format, we have our expert guests and we bring on people that know more shit than we do and we pick their brain and we learn from them while you guys learn from them on all sorts of topics ranging from accounting, bookkeeping, lawyers, crypto, anything that we can kind of bring on that will help you in life and business and as a couple. Third format, we have our Q&A. You guys get quite a few of those because we get some questions submitted. We try to format those into topic specific now. And lastly, the Foundation Hour episodes. And those are the where we get into the meat of like hardcore topics. They were and are part of our second book coming up. So you guys can go back into season two and listen to those. If you're curious as to what kind of topics we'll be covering in the second book, yes, it is delayed. I know there's some of you who listen and you're like, you've been saying this for a while. We are working on it. It is just something that we want to put more effort into and put a lot more detail into the second book than the first one. So it's going to be that much better than the first one. But that being said, today, my plan, because I've had some thoughts, is to go over something that is, in my mind, drives me fucking crazy. And that is why people buy a house versus buying a business. And it is the psychological response behind whatever societal norm we have that we buy this house and it's always going to go up in value, which is we all know is bullshit. And we're always going to gain equity and it's something that we own versus a business that has generating revenue income and that you can always make money on that loan that you take. So for me, when I watch people and they buy a house and they do their thing, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm still think it's not a bad thing to own property, but people are more inclined to go and drop $1 million on a house or half a million, whatever it might be. But when it comes to buying a business for $500,000, $1 million, unless they're a VC firm or they're a private equity company looking to merge multiple companies together, nobody does it. You know, well, that's not true, but it's like a harder sell for people to understand. And so it baffles me in my mind because when I look at acquiring a business or I'm like, hey, you know what, if we sell two birds or if we sell this company or if we build it up to sell, the only thing people look at are old numbers. They look at EBITDA and how much they can draw out and this and that. Whereas a house, we look at it financially as, oh, well, we're going to put in on $1 million now, we're going to pay out fucking $1.25 million in fucking interest. Like, are we retarded? Probably. Whereas, you know, you buy a business for $1 million and it is has revenue coming in and generating, you should be able to pay that freaking loan back a hell of a lot quicker. So for me, it's one of those topics that I'm a little bit passionate about because it pisses me off. Then people look at things and don't do math. And it just doesn't make any sense. So for you listening who are like, Clint's being an asshole, I am going to be an asshole today. Because it's sheer stupidity that we think of a house that has inflationary principles behind it on the reason that the value goes up. Oh, I bought it for $500,000. Now it's worth $700,000. Well, no, it's because your fucking money is worth less. Okay. Your dollar in your pocket is worth a hell of a lot less. Okay. Inflationary measures do not mean your house is worth more. It means you can buy less shit with a stupid piece of paper in your hands. And so that's why it irritates me when it's like, oh, I still have to go get a job to pay for this freaking house I have to live in because it's a necessity. But if I buy a business, which I've slept in my business multiple times, it's making me money. Okay. So buying a house isn't making you money. It's not like you're renting it out. You don't have multiple doors. You're not, you know, you don't have 50 condo units or anything like that. Most of us don't. And so for me, I want to kind of dive into, and it's an article I read from TechCrunch. I don't know if you guys know TechCrunch. They're a platform that I read a lot of different things that are going on in like the tech world with AI and crypto and all the stuff that's going on, robotics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that being said, one of the articles is why entrepreneurs shouldn't buy a house. And I found it kind of fascinating. And some of the things that he touches on is very similar things that I just kind of ranted on for the last 2.5 minutes, because I was reading and I was like, this is very similar concept to how I think about home ownership and why it's only necessary because we need a place to store our shit and to sleep. And there is no revenue. So one of the mean cursors of this is I read Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, years ago when I was 15, 16. And his concept of the cash flow quadrant, and you guys can go read all on that, really kind of stuck with me on your home's not an asset. Now, that pisses people off when you tell them it's not an asset, because it's really not. It's a liability to the bank that you've been paying interest on, and you don't even – you guys all know, you buy a house, the first 5 years, you might make 1% of it in fucking principal. The rest is all interest. So unless we've got negative interest rates where they're paying us to buy the thing, buying these properties that we don't have any revenue out of doesn't make any sense for me from an entrepreneur business perspective. Now, granted, I know you need a place to live and I know you need a freaking place to sleep, blah, 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 blah. Everybody does. It's one of those human necessities. We've needed them forever. That being said, we're more keen and more likely to go buy a house, drop $1 million than we are to go buy a business for $1 million with recurring revenue, which doesn't make any sense. And I'm sure you guys are shaking your head or you're shutting off the show right now because it doesn't make any sense to you. But hear me out. The responsibilities of home ownership. So let's say that you are an entrepreneur and you exit a business, small amount, whatever, $500,000, $500,000, $1 million, whatever, and you want to go buy this house. Well, you have to go and put down $200,000 for 20% now on $1 million home. $100,000 if it's a $500,000 home. Now, you don't have to, but you should if you don't want to pay the extra fees and the CCMHC and all that kind of stuff. And so you might as well just throw that down and put a stake in the ground, is what this guy said, that says, rest in peace, my $150,000 or $100,000, my $200,000, which I found quite humorous because he's not wrong. You've worked your ass off for the last how many years to build this business, get a little nest egg that you can use to build the next business or acquire. And everyone acquires real estate all the time. When they sell a business, they get a bit of cash. Safe investment is real estate. Stock market's not safe. We know that. This isn't safe. This isn't safe. But why are we investing in assets that don't make us money, that don't return that residual income? Because that's what we're taught. It's simple. And it's okay to make all this money as an entrepreneur and then put it into real estate. But it doesn't make any sense if it's not actually making you money. Now, yes, you need a place to live. But how do you make that asset, which is actually a liability, make you money? You don't. So why is it so complicated for us to, and why do we look at numbers is my big question for everybody who's listening. And I'm going to kind of have my theory on it. Why do we look at numbers like EBITDA? Okay. How much money the owner withdraws out of the company when the, and numbers, you know, top line, bottom line revenue. Why is that so important? And I know why it's important from a business perspective, but when you're acquiring a business, you also need to look at the sales. You know, what are the funnels? Is the team not that good? Are they experts in the field? Do you have a good baseline? There's a lot of factors that go into it. And am I going to continue to make money? But when you buy a business, you have to go to work. And I think that's the big issue. And that's my biggest pet peeve is nobody wants to fucking work. It's like, oh, the government just gives me a check. Here's my $2,000 for fucking CERB or whatever the hell it was. That's dumb. You buy a business not for it just to make you like just sit around and do nothing. That's why real estate's so easy in people's heads, because if they have a couple properties and they're renting them out, well, this person's paying the interest and the mortgage. The bank's laughing the whole fucking way. It makes no bloody sense. One, you can't pay it. It takes you 30 years to pay off a house. Most freaking loans for a business are like maximum 10 years banks will do. Higher interest, sure. Higher risk, I guess. I don't see how it's higher risk to a bank, maybe because of how fast businesses can go under because of just piss poor people and leaders like not doing their job or taking all the money out of the bank account or whatever they're doing stupidly to take a risk or to live some sort of lifestyle because they own a house that costs them a bloody fortune and the business has to suffer for it. that is my little rant on the whole thing. So now to get back to the topic is, why should we not buy businesses and buy houses, right? Or why should we buy a house and not buy businesses? That is the big question. And so basically what it comes down to is, here's some risk associated with buying a house. Your cash is gone, right? So you have no cash. Now, cash is inflationary. It doesn't really matter. You have to store value somehow. And the only way people can find to store value is in their home, right? I can get an equity loan. I can do this with the house. I can blah, 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 blah. Eventually, these markets all collapse. They just do, right? It's no different than putting your money in the stock market. They're all going to come down eventually. They're only propped up by fake propaganda from the politicians telling you that so they can get votes, right? That's they're only propped up by that, okay? The government basically bought your credit in the last go around, if you do your research on how many mortgages the government bought from the Bank of Canada. You can look that up. That's just straight fact. It's on the Bank of Canada website. So you're sitting there with this $1 million, $500,000, whatever the price of this thing is, and it's not making you any money. So your cash is just gone when you put the deposit down. Okay. Then you have all the maintenance costs that go along with this house, and there's no revenue coming in for the maintenance unless you're working a job. So now you've got this house that, oh, the roof's 25 years old, time to replace it. You know, we had a leak because there was a shitty line put in and we don't know how to put a shark bite in and fix the leak. So now we got drywall damage and flood damage. Yeah, there's insurance. Good for that. But there's all these costs that go along with owning that, and there's no revenue coming in, right? Plus, now you've got property taxes. That's for life. The government doesn't give a shit about you, okay? That is for life. It's $5,000, $6,000, whatever it means, $10,000 a year on repeat forever or until you die. They don't care. And so that is a constant cost, okay? And then you're fucking trapped, okay? Most of us, like a $1 million house, that freaking mortgage, if you have done the math lately, is between $5,000 and $6,000, okay? Even with $200,000 down. So especially at the six, I think it's 6.25 or 6.5 or whatever the hell the interest rate is right now, that's your cost. And then you got to account for the long-term 30 years. So you're trapped in this place and you think you can sell it. Well, the market right now is not a seller's market. It's barely a buyer's market. It's like stagnant. And if you do your research and listen to some of the guys that I listen to about how the market's going, there's a stagnation in it completely. And especially talking to some of the real estate friends of ours and different people who do investments, it's a very stagnant market all around the world. It's not just, now people are still saying, oh, we're making money, we're selling our houses, or it's gone up by 7%. Yeah, so is everything else. And not to mention you got carbon taxes coming. There's your 23% boost on your taxes. And we're already paying, I think our bill is $400 in taxes just for our shop. Take 23% and add that onto there. It's another $100 a month, $1,200 a year, and that's going to go to everybody. Okay, now all of our power bills are high. Got to have power, got to have hydro, whatever you guys call it. So that is the one issue with that you're having with these houses. Now you have these same factors with a business, but you can sell your way out of it. Okay. You can't sell your way out of a house. It's not a liquid asset. And for those who don't know what a liquid asset is, it doesn't mean you can just liquidate it and you have cash now. There's time constraints to it. There's a lot of factors that go into being able to sell a property efficiently and quickly. Whereas cash and recurring revenue, as long as you don't butcher the customer service side of your business, is always going to be coming in. As long as your business has a good model, you've got repeat clients, really good customer service, and you're working on new products and differentiating yourself from your competitors, and you're constantly in that mode of growth and development, even when you buy that new business, because when you buy a new business, it's brand new. It's like a brand new car. You're going to keep it squeaky clean. You're going all in. That is your motivation. And the money to buy these small businesses, there's a lot for sale and people willing to sell them, right? Especially the older generation that have family that doesn't want to keep it in the trades industries, and that this is not just like Canada, this is all over the world. a lot of people are retiring and there's nobody wants to take over their business. This is an opportunity to change your mindset. And this is how I think about it, is if I can leverage a business into another business, if I can merge one into another, do I have market opportunities with another company to merge two businesses and make it bigger? What are the opportunities to continue having income coming in, even though I have to work like a psychopath and I have to be in there and I have to go? But how long is that capital outlay versus like maybe 10 years, 5 years? Way the world works, if you have really viral marketing, or if you're able to provide a long-term, really good service for, you know, 8, 9, 10 years, that word of mouth lasts and you're able to continue to progress and keep that cash flow going. So it doesn't make sense to me that we analyze a house as an asset and a business is, well, you know, I don't think it's worth that. I don't think it's worth that. It depends. A house isn't worth it. They're made up numbers. Actually, if you know anything about the news, people overvalue their properties over crazy. And in New York, Trump just got fined $425 million. Now that just came down to $175 million. Because he overvalued property, which is a bullshit, stupid law. Don't get me wrong. It's retarded. Makes no sense to anybody. It's a complete scam and a farce that they're telling people that we're going to fine you for overvaluing property. Property is in the eye of the beholder. If I want to come in and say, your house is awesome, market says it's worth $450, I love the location, I think it's worth $700 or $800, I'll give you that. It's in the eye of whoever's buying it. If I think your property's worth like $200,000 and you got it listed for $450, it's not going to sell to me because I don't think, and if you sell it because you need to dump it, fine. But it's in the eye of the beholder. Whereas a business has recurring revenue, you have your top line, your EBITDA, your COGS, everything in the balance sheet that you can go on your asset base and sell on. They're actually tangible things to see, and you can really actually break down a business and actually cut out all the crap to make it profitable. There's a lot of ways to do it. And that's why I just don't understand the thinking by modern society and humans in general about our homes. Okay. A home is a place to store shit and sleep. End of discussion. It is not anything more than that unless there are renters in there paying off your mortgage. Okay. That is the simple fact of it. It is literally just a liability on your balance sheet. And that's your personal balance sheet, okay? It is not an asset by any means necessary. It is just a place to store your shit. And that's what we got to get around to, that it is just a place to store things, whereas a business is a place to create things. And everybody has this mentality to store stuff that they've bought. So why would you not want to have a business where you can make money off of that mindset? Okay, guys, that is my thoughts on the kind of the concept of why people buy houses versus buying businesses. I think there's a lot to unpack and kind of go into. There's a lot more that I can talk about, but I think I'm going to bring on a real estate agent, and Rob and I are going to interview one of our expert guest episodes to talk about that nuance and that difference and why people are, you know, so concerned about it. Because I think there's a lot to unpack, and it's good to have other perspectives than just my opinion on the idea. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more mathematics behind it and concepts that we can kind of dive into that I'm unaware of or that I've done research on, and I can kind of break them down after the episode with the new guests. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening. As always, you can catch us at businesslifeofhusbandwife.ca. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, please like, share, and subscribe to the show.